Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to study our subject, Further Studies, in selected psalms, and the psalm which we have selected for our consideration today is Psalm 69. This wonderful Psalm 69 is referred to in the New Testament no less than 10 times, most times directly related to the person of Christ himself, not always, but most often. And in this wonderful psalm we see the humility and the shame and the mental agony of our Lord Jesus as he anticipates and as he accomplishes our salvation. Beginning at the first verse, we're just brought into this immediately. We read in the first verse of Psalm 69, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Our Lord Jesus is experiencing the thought of drowning with nothing under his feet and being overwhelmed by the waters. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12 and verse 50 made a remark to his statements, or rather a remark to his disciples, that which statement is just packed with truth. He said there, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Now, to be baptized means to be thrust under the waters, and that is the baptism of which he is speaking here. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." And when he says there, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished," he's referring to the floodgates of God's wrath that were to be loosed upon him in regard to the death for our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He received the stroke of judgment for our sins. We read in verse 3 of this 69th Psalm, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." Our Lord Jesus Christ was such a friendly person. He was such a loving person. He hated to be rejected. He came to have fellowship with men as he came into this world. And yet he has to say, "They that hate me without a cause," and I'm glad that that is added in the psalm, "without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." You see, the Jewish people expected Christ to come in pomp and circumstances to be their Messiah. This lowly Jesus, this Nazarene, came rather to be the sacrifice for our sins. The Lord Jesus himself tells us in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to be our Savior first before he could be our King. They didn't understand that, and they hated him, this upstart from Nazareth. What, they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And this lowly Nazarene came in humility to be the sacrifice for our sins, and they hated him. They didn't understand his mission. They were his enemies wrongfully, we read. They're mighty. And then he says, "Then I restored that which I took not away." What a pregnant statement that really is. "I restored that which I took not away." The Lord is referring to the trespass offering here. On the cross, he was the trespass offering as well as the other offerings. And that trespass offering, the trespasser had to restore the article that he stole and add the fifth part. He added more than he stole. That was his fine. And you know our Lord Jesus Christ could say that as no other person could say that. Then I restored that which I took not away. Think of what Satan took away from us in the Garden of Eden. Think of what he took away from Adam. Think of these things as I mentioned them, please, just in a very, very rudimentary way. In Adam we lost innocency. In Christ we gained holiness. In Adam we lost partial fellowship with God. God came down in the cool of the day. In Christ we have full fellowship with God. We can approach Him any time during the day. We can have fellowship with God. We lost Eden, and Eden would have remained Eden had Adam not sinned. But we lost Eden, but instead, through Christ, we've gained heaven. We lost life, physical life in Adam. In Christ, we have gained eternal life. This could go on. This is a study in itself, what we lost in Adam and what we've gained in Christ. So our Lord Jesus could well say, prophetically, in this psalm written 1,000 years before he suffered on that cross, "Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Some would say, now this can't be written of Christ. He had no sins. He had no foolishness. But remember, please, he was charged with your sins and with my sins. They were laid upon him. We read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Our Lord Jesus Christ received those sins as his own. Think of that, if you will, please. He says there, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins were not hid from thee." He owned them. He was charged with them. And let me say this, and I say it advisedly. If Christ had not accepted those charges, not accepted the responsibility for your sins and for mine, there would be no heaven for us. He was charged with those sins, and he owned them. He identified himself with them and died for them, carried them into death. And here now he can say, "My sins are not hid from thee." Indeed, they weren't hid from God. God punished them on the cross, punished him for your sin and for my sin when he hung there in our place. Let's go on in the psalm. "Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake." He's thinking of the terrible state of mind of his apostles. When he is crucified, he anticipates it. And then he prays for them even before he went to the cross. "Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel." He fully anticipated that they would be thrown into consternation. And indeed they were. But oh, he revealed himself to them in resurrection, and their sorrow turned into joy. And he says in verse 7 of this psalm, "Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face." He knew what shame was. He says in the next verse, "I'm become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children." Some have felt and have even gone so far as to say that the Virgin Mary always stayed a virgin. She never knew a man. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ here says, "I'm become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children." In the 7th chapter of John, we read there very plainly the literal brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ did not believe on him. They rejected him. They accused him of being a publicity seeker. in regard to going up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. They said, go up there and get yourself some publicity. They railed on him. They wouldn't believe on him, but after his resurrection, his brothers did believe on him. In the 7th chapter of John, they are unbelievers. But in the 1st chapter of Acts, they are believers. And the difference is, Christ rose from the dead, and his brethren finally did believe in him. And then we read in verse 9, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He said, I made sackcloth also my garments, and became a proverb unto them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Think of that, if you will, please. The drunkards sang about our Lord Jesus Christ, this man who claimed to be so much, and yet died on a cruel gibbet, the Roman cross, where he died for you and for me. He says in verse 14, deliver me out of the mire, let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of deep waters. I think the poet has spoken so well that when he spoke of our Lord Jesus Christ, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Our Lord Jesus was the good shepherd who said, the good shepherd giveth his life to the sheep. Oh, how dark the night, how deep the waters, but thank God he was raised again from the dead, raised to the right hand of God. And we're going to consider that psalm, the psalm of his resurrection, a little later in this series of studies. But in this 69th psalm, it seems to be in despair, and he feels the rejection so keenly. And certainly, if he felt our rejection, what must he have said, and what must he have felt when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was under the burden of our sins. God forsook him as the sin bearer. He didn't say, my Father. He said, my God. My God that is dealing with sin, why hast thou forsaken me? I know the answer. He forsook him because of my sins and because of yours. Read the 69th Psalm. Just go through it and see what our Lord Jesus Christ endured even before the cross, because he died there for us. Father, we do thank you for the 69th Psalm. In the name of Christ, in whom it is written, of whom it is written. Amen.